There are many signs of spring. The arrival of the robin, the running of water, the budding of trees. But to the great tree frog that we've kept inside all winter, spring has arrived. I'd venture to guess, a little early. Last fall, our soon-to-be housemate slash resident great tree frog was spotted on the porch ledge, all curled up after a nocturnal night out on the town. The kid excitement level could hardly be contained. After setting the ladder up high against the porch and reminding my son not to use the unsafe top step, he gently nabbed the frog. Within that gentle child's clutch sat a frog whose life was soon to change. In the week following the rapture, discussions swirled about the possible sex. Not wanting to give the frog a complex, we got tangled up in the world wide web trying to decipher whether it was a male or female. After much reading and attempting to apply our knowledge, we were stuck at an asexual dead end. So we looked the frog over closely, noticing he certainly wasn't apple or pear-shaped, and that more than likely he'd probably need a belt or red suspenders to hold up his pants. We decided on a more masculine name, Lim. Before fall truly became winter, dinner table discussions centered on whether we should set Lim free so he could get his cells in order for a long winter nap. While there was no rancorous politician to cast a split vote of our four-member family, there was a contentious filibuster going on as to what the outcome should be. So Lim became an inside frog. Questions quickly shifted to whether or not Lim would hibernate inside. Christmas time arrived in a hurry, and our little brother Lim decided it was time for his extended slumber. As sleep set in, Lim began to change. His skin, which used to transform from drab olive green to chartreuse, no doubt in sync with some internal and thoroughly undomesticated clock, stopped changing. Additionally, he was no longer a member of the Clean Plate Club. He turned up his nose at supper, even as it inched across the floor right in front of him. There were more obvious clues, too. Like when you held him, he just wasn't quite all there anymore. He was lethargic and woozy. I'd associate it with the feeling adults might have if every day was a Monday. If that were the case, wouldn't you be tempted to turn off your alarm clock and tuck yourself further underneath your comforter and forget about the world and its troubles? Well, that's just how Lim was acting. It's now February, and Lim thinks it's April. Guess he didn't see his shadow this year. His circadian clock is blaring. It's time to rise and shine and give God the glory glory. Lim's taking this whole being awake thing pretty seriously. He sings and croaks, proud and loud. Now, mind you, this is while all of his cousins sleep soundly on the other side of three panes of glass. We probably should have expected it, but he was so quiet last fall. We said, this'll be easier than having a dog around. But somehow, we just didn't see it coming. The trouble started one night, just when we'd snuggled into bed for the evening. My son's bedroom door creaked open, and out he came with Lim's cage in hand. I can't sleep with this in my room. He plopped the cage down, ducked back into his room, and closed the door with a click. I looked down at the frog. He sat still for a while and stared right back at me. Then he decided to sing again. Our little frog brings back memories of another singing frog from childhood.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
Our house is starting to sound like a swamp, quips the oldest member of our family. Feeling sorry for the lonesome frog, our daughter attempts to foster it in her room. Same outcome. I can't sleep with him in my room, she cries, as she plops his cage back into the hallway floor and turns, closing yet another door with a resounding click. Lim, perched on a stick in his cage, has a superior view of the surrounding Superior National Forest from the hallway window, and again he begins to sing.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow can...
I snatch his cage off the floor and move him to the farthest flung room on the floor we sleep on. My job often requires me to stay up all night, and as a result, when I am home, the nocturnal Lim and I are often on the same schedule. We're up while everyone else in the house snores and drools. Just about the time I finally get to sleep, the frog starts in again. At this point, everyone except me is sleeping soundly. Not wanting them to wake, I dash down the hall and stop at the door. I listen for a moment before entering. As I open the door, the croaking stops. I peer in the cage. Lim and his beady little eyes are staring right back at me. It's a funny feeling being watched by a frog. As I move around the room, I feel his stare. I imagine it's kind of like how the Mona Lisa's eyes appear to follow you around the room when you're visiting her at the Louvre. I walk forward a few steps, watching the eyes. I back up, and yep, he's got a lock on me. As I leave the room, I give him a stern look and shake an apparitional finger in his direction. No more of that, I think to myself, as if my best dad impression is actually going to stop Nature Boy from waking up the rest of my family. I close the door. It's 4:30 a.m. I sit at the kitchen table and ruminate on our frog problem. At this point, I've got coffee in hand. Hey, as long as I'm up, I figure, I might as well enjoy myself. Not all unlike our frog. Trouble is, short of staging an accident, I don't see any way out. I walk back upstairs to check out the little bugger. I open the door and flip the light switch. Poor little guy. I mean, it must be a bit odd for him. Once upon a time, he awoke to slow morphing sunrises and sunsets. And now, with a flick of a switch, life goes from midnight to midday. Feeling unprepared to stage an unfortunate accident, I am left with one option. Move the cage to the basement, the furthest spot from any sleeping family member. To my relief, that actually ends up working out pretty well. No one can hear or see him. Out of sight, out of mind. Right? A week or so passes and everyone's resting well, but there's a problem. We all start to miss Lim. Poor guy, all alone, banished to the basement. He can't help it. Family discussion centers on balancing the inconvenient timing of the singing in our rest. An administrative decision is made to try again. Bring him up out of the cellar and back into the fold, attempting to patiently merge wild frog instinct with the circadian rhythm we must keep. It's funny, but when I look out the window, I see piles of snow in a winter that looks and feels endless. But when I look at the calendar or hear Lim's song, I know spring is on its way. And after all the drama and wakeful nights, it appears that our family is slowly warming to the inconvenience of springtime sounds wafting around our house. I guess you could say that spring is just around the corner. Oh, to live the life you live in Cook County, this is Steve Ramberg with the Gunflint Notebook for WTIP.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side? Rainbows are visions.